Chapter 3. I had never felt such a mix of happy and scared. Especially after looking at the house, I really wanted to go to the hospital to tell Scooby, but I didn't think my stomach would take the odor mix of alcohol and Lysol that permeates the place. Plus, we sure wouldn't have any privacy. I intended to go straight home after I left Lester, but decided to stop by Mr. Markle's in-town grocery near the courthouse. I would buy a pre-made cake as well as some pink and blue icing to write something, but what, on the cake. Perhaps, "You better sit down," in alternating colors. At 2:15, I pulled into our small driveway and hauled my tired self up the short flight of steps. I put the pound cake and packages of pink and blue decorating icing on the coffee table with a couple of pieces of mail covering them. I didn't make it to the bedroom before I fell asleep. At 3:15, Terry ran up the porch steps and almost banged the front door open. He caught it before it hit the wall. Pebbles had been about to walk toward the door to greet him, but quickly waddled back to her spot under his bed. I sat up fast and stared as he dug a piece of paper from the pocket of his jeans. For a couple of seconds, I felt dizzy, but it passed. "I have a stupid note for you." I kept my tone light and held up my hand. "I've been hoping for a smart one." "You won't get it from Assistant Principal Rosen." Terry sat at the other end of the couch and reached down to pet Jazz. I gulped internally and a baby kicked hard. Rosen had held that job at the high school when I lived with Aunt Madge at her B&B during my junior year. I wouldn't call him narrow-minded, but he thought rules were paramount. He and Scooby had rarely seen eye to eye when Scooby was in high school. The sealed envelope was addressed to Scooby O'Brien and Jolie Gentil. I met Terry's gaze. "Do you know what it says?" "I know the subject matter." I patted the cushion next to mine. "Let's read it together." "Sure." He slid down next to me. Jazz hopped on his lap, mid-slide, planting herself firmly in place. Terry gently loosened her claws from his jeans. I slit the envelope with my thumb, unfolded the letter, and held it so we could both see. "April 28th. Dear Scooby and Jolie, I wanted to make you aware of a situation that developed late today. As you know, Terry shares a locker at Ocean Alley Middle School with Eddie Matlock. At the end of the day, Eddie reported that a sum of cash had vanished, his word, from the shared locker. I thought I knew where the letter was going and glanced at Terry. Was it a lot? Eddie says so. I never saw it. I went back to the letter. We can make no judgment at this time about the circumstances or the amount of cash that may have been removed. Eddie reports that he is missing $82. As you know, this is more than students are supposed to have with them in the building. My heart lightened somewhat. Mr. Rosen said he could make no judgment. However, Eddie has alleged that he and Terry had been arguing recently, and he asked that I examine the locker and Terry's person. My stomach clenched. Did you give him permission to search your locker and pockets? Terry scowled. They can search our lockers anytime. It's school property. I pulled out my pockets, which had no cash, and I told him if he wanted a cavity search, we were done talking. If Scooby had been here, the brothers would have high-fived. On a TV sitcom, that would be a good line. When talking to the middle school assistant principal for discipline, it probably hadn't gone over well. I went back to the letter. I would appreciate it if one or both of you would accompany Terry to school tomorrow. Over Eddie's objections, I have asked his parents to do the same. We will meet separately. I suggest 8:15, which is just after the start of first period. Rosen phrased his order as a request, but we would certainly be there. Scooby would not be happy. His day at the Ocean Alley Hospital Radiology Department started at 7 a.m., He wouldn't be mad at Terry, but he would be angry that the hospital would have to get someone to cover his shift on short notice. I refolded the letter and laid it next to me on the sofa. Of course you didn't take any money. Terry's shoulders relaxed. If he even had any. Eddie never has cash. I don't know Eddie well. Can you think of why he would make such an outrageous accusation? Terry stood, holding Jazz. I'm going to grab an apple and some chips while we talk. I made to get up and he laughed. Stay there. You want anything? Maybe an apple. As he walked across the living room to our narrow kitchen, I thought he had grown a lot more relaxed than he was 10 minutes ago. Had he been worried we wouldn't believe him? More steps on the porch announced Scooby. His somber expression told me he'd heard more information, or at least rumors, about layoffs at the hospital. He raised his eyebrows briefly and tilted his head toward the kitchen. I nodded. Hey, you two, he called. Pebble's favorite person is home, Terry called from the kitchen. Wrong. Scooby came over to me and rumpled my hair as he sat next to me. Good day? I kept my tone light. The usual rumpus. I lowered my voice. Terry's had some stuff at school. Terry came back in from the kitchen, apple in hand. My day stunk. I picked the letter off of the couch where I had placed it face down. Assistant Principal Rosen sent a letter, but the tone tells me he doubts all the circumstances described. Scooby took the letter, read for 15 seconds, and tossed it on the table. Yeah, for Rosen it's a good tone. He pointed at Terry. And of course it's a crock. Terry sat on the rocker and sighed. But everybody will hear about it. That's why he seemed so worried. I wanted to reassure him. It won't be fun, but it'll get resolved quickly. Terry jerked his thumb behind him in the direction of the front door. Want to go for a walk? Would I never get a chance to tell Scooby? I tried to look serious. Gee, I'm tuckered. Scooby laughed and Terry looked stricken. Just kidding. I know you meant a guy's walk. Jazz and I prefer some quiet time. Jazz followed the brothers out the door.